I just want to welcome everybody to the Top 10 TG Fashion Questions Teleseminar. I'm Lucille Sorella, and I'm here this evening with image and style consultant Ellis Kim. And a big thank you to everybody for submitting your questions. What I've done is I've selected 10 questions that I thought would relate to the majority of the ladies listening in on this call. So we've only got half an hour here, so let's jump right in. You ready, Ellis?
I'm ready.
Okay, so Felicia Dawn asks, when you wear a belt, when should you wear a belt, and what kind, and what should it match? Your boots, your skirt, your top, or your handbag?
Okay, so you can wear a belt basically anytime you want. There's no real hard and fast rule about wearing belts. And I think that for TG women, belts are really important, and it's going to help enhance your waist. I think that a lot of you guys could need a little bit of a cinching effect happening on the waist. So I think the belt is actually a very good way to do that, and you can wear that almost any time. Let's see. So when should you wear a belt? So that's any time. And what kind? It all depends. You know, I think that most of you guys, if you're a little bit on the bigger side, I would say choose a belt that's slightly wider. So anywhere between a medium-sized belt that's about maybe an inch and a quarter thick to anything much wider than that is going to be ideal for your body. And as far as how to wear it, I think you can just wear it practically over anything. So it's not just for clothing that's made to be worn with belts, such as, you know, pants with belt loops and things like that. You can wear it over cardigans and even jackets. And, you know, when you wear something, when you wear belts that are over something a little bit heavier, like cardigans and jackets, of course you want to make sure that your belts are much thicker. Let's see. And in order to, what was the other question? What should it match?
What should the belt match? Should it match your boots, your skirt, your top, your handbag? How do you make that choice?
Okay. Well, the easiest thing to do is to have your belt match another accessory or focal point of your outfit. So it's a good idea to match your belt with the color of your boots. It's really easy, and it'll balance out your look. You know, all the choices that were asked, the skirt, top, handbag, you can match that basically with anything. What you don't want to do is probably create a monochromatic look where your belt kind of matches everything you have, so it's not going to accentuate the midsection. But as far as matching it to boots and skirts and tops, you can really do anything you want. And another great example that I like is that if you want to go monochrome from top to bottom and then just have that one belt as the accent piece. So let's say you're wearing black from head to toe and you want to break up your middle, then you'd probably want to choose a contrasting color in your belt, such as maybe a red or a brown or, you know, any other color.
And could you talk just for a second here, Ellis, about belt placement? Obviously, TG women tend to have longer torsos than genetic women, so a belt that's not placed in the right location can call attention to that. So what's the best belt placement for TG women?
Lucille, that's a really good question. See, you know, the belt, you know, it creates a horizontal line in your body, so the placement of that, the height where you place it, is going to naturally draw the eye toward it. So if you wear a belt a little too low on your waistline, and since most of you guys have a longer torso, it's going to drag everything down and make you look like you have a very, very long torso. So a general rule of thumb would be to place it as high as you can on the natural waistline, which is, I would say, like directly above your belly button. And if you can, if you have styles that are empire waisted, which is a higher waistline right below the bust line, it's probably even better to do that so that you shorten out the torso.
Okay, excellent. And let's move right along. Stephanie William asks, Fashion choices for women today seem endless. When I'm out shopping and looking for something different, there are so many styles and colors to choose from. Is there an easy way or rule of thumb that would tell me which styles and or colors would work for me without having to try everything on?
Yes. It's actually pretty easy. If you figure out a couple of things, you can very much streamline your shopping experience and save a lot of time and money, you know, looking for clothes that aren't for you or spending money on clothes that don't fit you right. So the first thing, I think there's two things that we need to deal with here. The first thing is you have to take a very good assessment of your body shape and your overall figure. So after that, determine which areas you want to hide and which areas you want to emphasize. Then go ahead and do your research online. There's tons of resources. Just Google things to learn about clothing styles that will flatter your figure and accentuate your positives. A good website that I always refer people to is a website called myshape.com, and you could go in there. It's www.myshape.com. This website is pretty unique because it actually focuses on your body shape and your measurements and not necessarily your clothing size. And what they do is they have a database where they collect all of your clothing information and they give you a step-by-step instruction on how to measure yourself and things like that. And then they choose and pick clothing based on that information and recommend you to clothing styles that will flatter you the most. And another good thing about that site is that they also categorize your recommendations by occasions. So it's a really good place to learn about what's the most flattering styles and also what types of clothes are appropriate for your lifestyle or any kind of event that you're going to. So that's body. And then the next thing is, I believe the question was about color.
Yes.
Same thing applies. Yes. So the same thing applies to color, like your body. You just need to assess your color profile and go for clothing colors and makeup colors, and that includes hair color and everything that you do that go well with your skin tone. I would advise you to preferably get your skin tone analysis done by a professional, but it's really not that necessary if you really follow directions on certain quizzes online. One of the places that I would recommend for you to kind of do your own color profile assessment is Color Me Beautiful. And that's www.colormebeautiful.com. And they have a pretty short quiz that's going to give you a good idea about what your color profile is and then give you recommendations on makeup colors and things like that. So I believe Color Me Beautiful works on a seasonal palette. And the seasons run by, just like the seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter, and you basically categorize yourself within one of those color palettes, and from then you can find recommendations for which colors are best for your individual season.
Great. Well, that makes things a lot easier.
Yeah.
And we have a question from Carolyn, and she asks, I'm very tall, as are many TS and TG women. Any special tips for somebody very tall?
Okay, so that depends. My question would be, do you want to accentuate your height or do you want to minimize it? And I'm assuming that in your case, you probably want to minimize. What do you think, Lucille, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm very short, so if I had the luxury of being tall for a day, I would completely maximize it. But I know a lot of girls who are tall feel a little bit self-conscious about it. So let's talk about how to minimize height.
So, yeah, we'll go both ways. So the best way to minimize your height is to break up your body with clothing lines so the eye doesn't move straight up and down. So you want to do this by... The best way would be to layer clothes. So, for instance, you want to have a very short jacket that lands above your waist, like a short jacket, bolero type of style. And then you want to have that over maybe a little longer top where the hem lands below your waist or just about at your hip line. So now you have your body broken up now into thirds. And then to go even further, you want to wear a skirt that is maybe above the knee, at or just below the knee, because anything longer than that is going to make you look even longer. So just the whole key is to just keep breaking things up by creating horizontal lines along points in your body. As far as the heel, I guess if you're concerned about looking too tall, a tall heel is obviously out of the question. So, but I still recommend some type of heel. A short heel is just fine, but just a little bit of heel is a good thing. Just kind of, you know, elegantizes your legs and kind of gives you more of a feminine lift. So basically, anything that reduces verticality is great. And, you know, especially like I talked about, you know, getting some kind of horizontal line happening. And as, in terms of prints and patterns, I think that horizontal stripes at the top would be a really excellent choice for tall women. And I guess in terms of if you would want to accentuate your height, I would just use the reverse logic and just go for anything that creates a lot of verticality, vertical lines, obviously, and also wearing colors that are kind of flush from top to bottom. It's good, just going to just give you a whole up and down kind of thing to the eye. I found a really good website recently for tall women, and it's called – actually, there are two. One's called tallwomensclothes.com, and the other one is longtallsally.com. The second website is actually from London, but I believe that they have a really good shipping rate for shipping to the United States. So if you're not in London and if you're elsewhere, they have a really good reasonable cost for shipping for overseas.
And those are both shopping sites, correct?
Shopping sites. So what it does is they have clothing that is recommended and is going to flatter women who, you know, have a lot of height, and also, you know, not just clothes, but it recommends accessories and shoes and things like that.
Great. So our next question should be a pretty easy yes or no answer. Tina asks, for a dressy night, is it proper to still wear hose with open-toed shoes or dress sandals? I hear that you shouldn't, but I don't feel formal without hose on.
Okay. So I know from the from my previous experience that hose are a huge subject for you guys. So all I can say about that is that generally hose shouldn't be worn with open-toed shoes, dressy sandals, strappy sandals, and basically any shoes that show the toes and the back of your heels, like slippers. But if you absolutely must, and I know that it is necessary, especially, you know, if you want to have more of add some tone and some smoothness to your legs, or if you have any kind of imperfections on your legs, pantyhose is still a really great option. So if you absolutely must wear them, try to keep the shoe opening at the toe as small as possible so it doesn't expose too much toes. And in terms of the quality of the hose, I would just make sure that you get very sheer pantyhose. And basically the more kind of higher end the brand of the pantyhose, the sheerer that they're going to get. And just one important thing about wearing hose with open-toe shoes is that you must get the sheer toe on the pantyhose, or they're sometimes called sandal foot hose, as opposed to reinforced toes. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the reinforced toes is the area in the toe of the pantyhose where it's darkened to kind of cover up your hose. So obviously you don't want that. You want to show your toes. So even with the sandal foot or sheer toe pantyhose, around the toe area, there's going to be a seam at the end where the pantyhose kind of ends. What you want to do is you want to just make sure that that seam is well hidden underneath the toe so you can kind of tuck it in so you don't see that. And just to be sure to get, you know, again, good quality hose that's sheer. And another great point is that you need to try to match your skin tone as close as possible to your shears. I think that's it. And oh yeah, and you want to just, you know, basically the overall message is that you want to create the illusion that you're not wearing hose, so that, you know, the visible hose on the toe area that exposed isn't as noticeable. But here's the thing, though. I did some research not too long ago, and I found another option, and they're called toeless pantyhose. And what they are is that they only come in nude color hose. Like I said, you must try to match the color of the hose to your legs as much as possible. So they're offered in these nude color hose, and they're cut away at the toe area. So you have this full pantyhose, and then your toe area is kind of left open. And they come in a few different styles. I think there's one in ultra sheer, and then there's like shaping and control top styles. And, you know, honestly, I'm not crazy about them, and I don't personally recommend them, because no matter how sheer and close to your skin tone those hose are, you're still going to be able to see that there's a difference between your legs and upper feet that's covered with the pantyhose compared to the bare toes. But, you know, in any case, if you're interested or curious, you know, check them out and at least know that this type of product is available. They're, you can find them at silkies.com, www.silkies, S-I-L-K-I-E-S.com.
And we got actually a lot of questions, Alice, about shoulders. So Jackie, Kelly Lee, and Diane all want to know how to make the shoulders look less broad and minimize the difference between broad shoulders and a narrow waist or hips. And just before you answer that question, just a quick reminder that we've actually, we're already at 8:20, so we're going to try to blaze through the rest of these questions.
Okay.
But if you could give us some quick tips on how to minimize the shoulders and the difference between the broad shoulders and a narrow waist or hips.
Okay. So, first of all, because of the broad shoulders, of course, you want to avoid anything that's going to accentuate it. So things like shoulder pads and sharp tailoring at the shoulders should be avoided. Instead, you want to create a lot of kind of a downward movement that's fluid from your shoulders. So anything that is a butterfly, bat wing, or dolman sleeves, any kind of sleeve that drapes down from your shoulder is the best. Let's see. So if we have something that's fluid and hangs down to create a downward movement, by that kind of logic, you know that the opposite will only enhance and accentuate your broad shoulders. So, you know, any neckline or shoulder line that's broad and horizontal should be avoided. Also, you need to just definitely avoid exposing your shoulders. And, you know, especially styles like halter tops or racerback tanks really cut away or at the shoulder line, so you want to avoid that. And in order to minimize the different, I guess, ratio between your shoulder and your narrow waist, just don't wear anything that's going to, you know, hug around your waist and create kind of a V shape. So while you have that kind of drapey top that's fluid and hangs down from your shoulder, make sure that top also kind of just hangs down in general, and that it just hangs well and very gracefully draped down your shoulders and onto your hips without creating any kind of accent around the hips, such as wearing a belt or anything like that. Just, you know, let it just hang down.
Great. And sort of on the same vein, Paula asks, I have a large neck, 18 inches. Any ideas on how to hide this or draw attention away from my neck and shoulder area?
Okay. So for a large neck, you just want to make sure that you don't highlight that area alone, such as if you wear a collared shirt that has a crew neck or a jewel neck, that's going to really accentuate your thick neck, or even wear a choker necklace that's just going to sit there and basically, you know, have a tight grip over your neck, and it's just going to be like this very, you know, thick strip that's going to go around your neck. So you want to avoid things like that. As far as your hair, maybe if you want to have longer, slightly kind of voluminous hair that drapes down, it will add to the downward vertical movement around your neck. Let's see. So the easiest way, I think, to camouflage this type of neck is to, you know, simply create space around it or below it with open collars or neckline. You can just try to show a little bit of skin optically, you know, around the neck. So maybe show your collarbone a little bit, and that will give that kind of neck more length. And other things I could recommend is that you want to just, you know, besides opening up the neckline and collar, maybe you want to create some kind of interest around the waist, such as having a shirt that's tied at the waist, where it's going to create a lot of dominance there to sort of divert the eye away from the neck area. And just basically follow that rule where if you just want to keep elongating any area that's near your neck, so anything that's a V-neck or a wrap, you know, things that just keep moving everything down is a really good idea.
You could also hide it with a shawl, right?
Mm. You can do that. Sure.
Easy,
I mean, you can either hide it or divert
solution,
attention away
course.
From it. But you just want to make sure that if you have a thick neck that you don't want to wear a scarf that's too short, because that's going to have the same effect as the choker, where it's just kind of going to accentuate, you know, the thickness of the neck because the length of the scarf is too short. So if you wear a scarf, just make sure it's kind of on the, you know, the long scarves where it kind of hangs very low, and preferably a skinny scarf will help a lot.
Okay, great. Danielle has a question about dress sizes. Her measurements are 38, 27, 38, which makes her a 12 on top and an 8 on the bottom, according to most of the size charts out there. So aside from going with a two-piece outfit, how can she find dresses that fit if she's two different sizes, one size on top and a different size on the bottom?
You know, that's actually a good question.
I know a lot of genetic women have this problem, actually. Usually they're a size bigger on the bottom than on the top. And I guess it probably depends on the style of dress that you wear. There's some dresses that, well, in the example of a genetic woman, if you're small on top and you're big on the bottom, if you find something with a full skirt, that doesn't really depend so much on your hip measurement.
Right.
That would probably be one way. So what would your advice be then for TG women who tend to be bigger on top and smaller on the bottom?
You know, that's actually kind of difficult just because the size difference is pretty large. You're up two sizes up top and 8 at the bottom. And it's not just for TG women. It's for any kind of woman who has that kind of difference from top to bottom. So it's going to be pretty difficult, I'd say, obviously, you know, to find a dress that fits you. The only thing I can say is that you might want to just get a dress that's very drapey, that has a lot of gathering, and it's pretty loose at the bottom, so that although it fits you at the top, again, you can bring in a belt and use that to, you know, kind of create a cohesive look. So maybe you want to get kind of a almost like a tent shape, perhaps, or even just a long kind of pleated column, and that has really no shape so that you can fit your top and then go ahead and create a figure with the belt. But another alternative I would say is just to find a two-piece outfit that comes in a matching fabric so that when you put them on together, it creates the illusion that you're wearing a dress. And again, the whole importance of the belt comes in again, where you can actually take the belt and this time put it in the middle, where it's going to then create the look of a real dress for you, even though it's a two-piece outfit.
That is great advice, actually. And Danielle had another good question she asked. With all the different kinds and styles of bras on the market, is there one style or kind of bra that you would recommend, and how do you know if you have the right one?
I think the one bra that you should invest in is just a very plain, smooth finish, almost seamless bra. They actually sell it. I think that's one of their selling points. It'll say seamless or something like that, where it's just really, really smooth with no excess decoration like laces and things like that, because they tend to show through in clothes. So you can, of course, you know, have your collection of those pretty lacy bras and things like that, but just for one item to invest in is a smooth finish. Anything with underwire support, especially if you have, you know, breast enhancers that you want to fill in, is really good. And in terms of if you, you know, how do you know if you have the right one? Well, you'll feel it right away, and you'll, you know, be very comfortable with it. But before, you know, taking the time to try on all these bras, I would recommend if you feel comfortable enough to actually get yourself measured. You don't have to do anything different. Just go in with your regular bra on, with, you know, breast enhancers or whatever that you usually do, and then just go to the intimates department where most of the salespeople should be trained to take a bra measurement. And I think that, you know, just that one trip alone will cost you a lot of, you know, save you a lot of time and also help you get the right bra for you. Because, you know, many women, especially, you know, even genetic women, a lot of them wear the wrong bra sizes. So I think it's definitely best to get them professionally measured. And it takes no time at all. It just takes, like, less than a minute.
And I just wanted to mention that I've been told by several girls that Victoria's Secret is very transgender friendly. So if you go in and you want to get measured somewhere, you might want to try Victoria's Secret.
Yeah, so, that's a great point.
Yes. So we've just got two more questions. Okay. Mandy asks, how do you know what kind of pumps to buy and how big of a heel?
Okay. So all of this depends, again, on proportion. Like everything that we talked about has a lot to do with proportion, right? So you want to look at, first of all, your overall body size. And depending on your size, if you're on the bigger side, then you want to get a heel that has a little bit more of a sturdy heel and, you know, shoes that are generally has a little bit more meat to it. That's a little more chunky and less dainty. The reverse if you're, you know, frail and thin and small and things like that.